Podcasting from Dallas, Texas, I am Shireen, and this is the Yumlish Podcast. Yumlish empowers people with chronic conditions like type 2 diabetes and heart disease to take charge of their health through diet. And this podcast is created to amplify the voices of patients, health professionals, employers, and community members who are working to reduce the risk of these chronic diseases and put your health first.
Do you know your vitamins? Did you know that most vitamins fall into two broad categories? An excess in one category actually gets flushed right out of you. Find out if vitamin supplements live up to the hype right here. Stay tuned. Amanda Izquierdo is a Chicago-based dietitian and food and nutrition consultant. She has spent her career working with food, beverage, and ingredient companies and marketing and public relations agencies to help brands effectively and credibly communicate their nutrition stories. She also works virtually with busy people to eliminate confusion around healthy eating and build confidence about their food choices. Welcome, Amanda.
Thanks, Shireen. I'm so happy to be here.
Glad to have you on. So Amanda, diving right in, what led you to dietetics and really this career in weight management and behavior modification?
Yeah, so my career actually started in pharmaceutical advertising. And after a few years, I realized I hadn't yet found my niche or my passion. And I'm really a curious person. I've always loved being a student. And over the years, I realized how much I also love teaching what I learn. And dietetics is really based in teaching others. So I went back to school to earn my master's in public health and nutritional sciences at the University of Michigan. And then after earning my credentials as a dietitian, I knew I wanted to work in somewhat of a non-traditional role. So not necessarily at a hospital, which many people think of when they think of dietitians in the workplace. So I decided to use my experience in marketing and communications with my knowledge of nutrition to work in a way where I could communicate to the public about food and nutrition. There is so much confusion and misinformation about what to eat and what not to eat. So my mission is to put as much factual information out there when it comes to nutrition. And I do this by, as you said, working with food, beverage, and ingredient companies. But I also do this through my own content as well.
Interesting. And so when you're talking about, you know, all the kinds of information that's out there and how confusing it can get, one of my biggest ones is really understanding vitamins. I mean, so simple, and yet it seems a little overwhelming. What are the different categories of vitamins and really what is the difference?
Yes. So to your point, it is somewhat so simple. And when we think about vitamins, there really are only two categories. So we have either fat-soluble or water-soluble vitamins. And when we say soluble, what that really just means is dissolve. So first, we'll talk about fat-soluble vitamins. In order to absorb those by our body, they first must be dissolved in fats or oils, which our bodies do naturally during digestion. So they are often stored in our body's fatty tissue, like our liver. And because they're stored, they can build up over time, and high levels may cause some toxicity. On the other hand, water-soluble vitamins are, you guessed it, dissolved in water before we can absorb them. And then that means that they're typically eliminated much more quickly than fat-soluble vitamins. So because of this, we really need to try and get water-soluble vitamins consistently. Also, because water-soluble vitamins are more likely than fat-soluble vitamins to be destroyed during normal food storage and preparation.
Mm-hmm. And so what are examples of water and fat-soluble vitamins?
Yep. So fat-soluble, there's four of them, vitamins A, D, E, and K. When I was studying nutrition, I always thought of them as ADEC, another kind of mnemonic is all dogs eat kibble. That's how you can remember all the fat-soluble vitamins. And then when we talk about water-soluble vitamins, those include vitamin C and vitamin B, which is actually a complex of 8 different B vitamins.
Okay, so let's dive a little deeper. So let's start with the B vitamins first. What are they and where are they found?
Yes. So B vitamins are found in a variety of foods. And the good news is that deficiency is very rare. The most B vitamins act as what we call coenzymes, which means they are essential for thousands of reactions that take place in our body every day. And that's what makes them so crucial. So to start, all of the B vitamins have a number associated with them. We typically call them by a more formal name. So for example, vitamin B1 is also known as thiamine. Thiamine plays a critical role in energy metabolism, making it crucial for growth, development, and cell function. It's found in whole grains, meat, and fish. And its most common source in the U.S. is bread and cereal, which is often fortified with thiamine. Vitamin B2 is also known as riboflavin. Riboflavin is essential for energy production, cell function, and the metabolism of fats, drugs, and steroids. The thing about riboflavin that's interesting is it becomes inactive when exposed to UV light. And since milk is a main source of riboflavin, it's why we've generally moved away from storing milk in glass containers, because it's in way that the riboflavin is degraded. Eggs and beef liver are also good sources of riboflavin. And again, like thiamine, many cereals and oats are also fortified with riboflavin. I'll move on to vitamin B3, which is also known as niacin. Once absorbed by our bodies, we convert niacin to use in what we call redox reactions in the body. So that means niacin is critical for either breaking down carbs, fats, and proteins to ATP or energy, or it's used to build cholesterol and fatty acids that we need in our body. We do need cholesterol, so it's used for both of those. Chicken, marinara sauce, salmon, tuna, rice, peanuts, all sources of niacin. And we can actually make niacin in our bodies from tryptophan, which is an amino acid most typically associated with turkey. Vitamin B5 is also known as pantothenic acid. Pantothenic acid is essential for making and breaking down fatty acids in our bodies. Again, it's found in a variety of sources, cereal, shiitake mushrooms, and sunflower seeds. And then vitamin B6 is typically one we call vitamin B6, but it's also known as pyridoxine. This vitamin is extremely versatile, and it's involved in over 100 reactions in our body, mostly due to protein metabolism. It's found in chickpeas, tuna, salmon, potatoes, and banana. Vitamin B7 is also known as biotin, and it is critical for fat, carbohydrate, and protein metabolism. And it's also important in cell signaling and gene regulation. Again, beef liver, egg, salmon, pork chop, sunflower seeds, sweet potato are all good sources. So as you kind of see, there's a lot of sources of all of these vitamins, so it is easy to get them throughout the diet. The last two, folate or folic acid, also known as vitamin B9, is essential for neural tube development. So it's really vital before and during pregnancy. Fruits and vegetables, as well as fortified grains, are good sources. To give you kind of an idea of how much you need, the recommended amount for adults is 400 micrograms. And a half cup of cooked spinach has 131 micrograms folate. So just put it in perspective of how much you need. And again, folic acid is the synthetic version of folate, and it's just as effective as the naturally found folate. And then finally, vitamin B12 is cobalamin. This is primarily found in animal foods, so things like cheese, yogurt, meat, and eggs. But many grains and cereals are also fortified with B12. Because of this, vegetarians and vegans sometimes need to consider supplementing with B12 specifically, since they may not be eating those animal products and a deficiency might occur. And a deficiency can cause anemia, since vitamin B12 is important in red blood cell development. And then again, just for reference, I find it helpful that the recommended amount of vitamin B12 every day is 2.4 micrograms, and a can of tuna has 2.5 micrograms. So you're already getting that amount. So really, all of these have varying roles, but all eight of them are very important for your body's energy and metabolism, really helping you to convert food into energy. Again, like I said, B12 helps your body make red blood cells. Niacin can help with normal nervous system function. And then riboflavin keeps your skin and eyes healthy as well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And then when we're talking about specifically vitamin supplements, do vitamin B supplements, are they just as good as the original sources that you mentioned?
So they can be, but they're rarely necessary for most people. And that's really what I like to discuss. Again, as you heard, some of the examples of where B vitamins are found, they're found in so many foods. So it really is possible to get enough from food alone. And as you heard too, with the can of tuna example, you're meeting B12 already. If tuna is something you eat, a lot of these B vitamins are really small doses that we need every day. So again, it is possible to get B vitamins from food alone. I will say, like I mentioned, vegans and vegetarians often do need B12, since the best sources are animal-based foods. And again, in terms of B12, metformin can also reduce the absorption of B12. So those taking metformin may want to get their levels tested to understand if they also need a supplement. And then the other one, folate, requirements increase 150% during pregnancy and lactation. So that's often a good one to supplement with as well. But again, as I said, the doses we need of some of these are so small. So for example, pantothenic acid, the recommended amount adults need is 5 micrograms. And most multivitamins have 10 milligrams. So you're just getting huge doses. And as we said, because we can't store them, we end up just excreting them very quickly.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the ones that stood out to me, the B vitamins, was biotin, because that's something that we hear about for hair, skin, nails, you know, for growth of that. And so then can we put maybe that mystery to rest to ask that, are biotin supplements needed, or is there plenty in the foods that you consume so you don't need to, you know, necessarily have those supplements?
Again, it is found in a lot of foods. Like I said, egg, salmon, pork chops, sunflower seeds, sweet potatoes. You are probably getting enough. And again, you can't store it. So it's really, even if you have, you know, you get 1,000% of biotin, you'll be just excreting most of that because there is no place for it to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is, I think we need some more research on if higher doses can actually help with hair and skin. There is some link to it, but again, you'll be excreting most of those mega doses out for sure.
Interesting. All right. So let's move on to vitamin C. So I think vitamin C, immediately my mind goes to oranges.
Definitely.
What is the importance of this vitamin, and then where else is it found?
Yes. So again, vitamin C is a water-soluble vitamin. It's also sometimes referred to as ascorbic acid. So you may see that on ingredient labels and just know that that's vitamin C. It is crucial for the production of collagen and neurotransmitters, and it's also involved in protein metabolism. And when we talk about collagen, it isn't just for more youthful-looking skin, as we've all heard, I'm sure. Collagen plays a critical role in wound healing. So that's why, one of the reasons why vitamin C is so critical. Vitamin C also acts as an antioxidant, which means it can limit the damaging effects of free radicals in our body. And as you mentioned, citrus, oranges, are probably the most well-known food sources of vitamin C. But I always like to mention that bell peppers actually have more vitamin C per serving. Mm-hmm. Overall, fruits and vegetables are going to be your best sources of vitamin C. Kiwis, strawberries, and broccoli are also good sources. And again, for that reference point, the recommended daily amount of vitamin C for adults is 75 milligrams for women and 10 milligrams for men. And 3/4 cup of orange juice has 93 milligrams of vitamin C. So you're already meeting that just by having some orange juice in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And so let's move on to supplements when it comes to vitamin C's. Would you recommend that?
So honestly, no. Only if you're not eating any fruits or vegetables. Again, most people are able to get enough vitamin C from food alone. And deficiency of vitamin C, which is known as scurvy, is really, really rare today. It was predominantly something we saw in sailors when they were coming over long journeys on boats where they couldn't have any fresh fruits and vegetables, and so they developed scurvy. But we really don't see it anymore today. And the reason why I don't recommend it is, again, we can't store vitamin C. So if you take mega doses, most of it won't have anywhere to go in your body. So it will end up in your urine. You're essentially just putting money down the drain. And that's, you know, I'm just trying to look out for your wallet. It really, the research hasn't shown that mega doses can help delay colds. It really isn't able to do that. And so taking these mega doses just really ends up being excreted from your body.
Mm-hmm. And so what, one of the things that you mentioned with it being water soluble is like if you're having more than what your body can really consume at any given time, then it's really being excreted out, which is such a shame because especially if we're doing supplements, it's like, oh, you're just having it and then it's coming right out of you.
Exactly. And the good thing is we find that with water soluble vitamins, there's less of a possibility that the toxic levels can be detrimental to your health. So with vitamin C, if you take huge doses, there really are limited negative effects. Probably the biggest effect is you might have some digestive issues, just some discomfort, but it's not really harmful for you. So I think some people think that it's not harmful. I can take as much as I want, but at the end of the day, it's just you're not really doing anything for yourself by taking these huge doses of vitamin C and B vitamins.
Okay. And then is it better to, I guess, moderate water intake with this so it's not getting flushed out? I mean, is there anything can we do to stretch some of the consumption?
I wish, but no. Please don't take in
less drinking water. Yeah.
Again, it's these vitamins are found in so many foods we eat. So it is very rare to have deficiencies of them, and you need water. You need water for many different things. So continue to consume water. And again, by eating a variety of foods throughout the day, again, you might not get 100% of the needed vitamin C today, but you may get more tomorrow. So it's really not about what you're doing today, but over time that you're eating these foods regularly and getting most of these vitamins all the time.
Mm-hmm. All right. So with that, Amanda, we're toward the end of the episode. This was very intriguing. How can our listeners really connect with you and learn more about your work?
Yes. So you can follow me on Instagram at Izzy, I-Z-Z-Y, Eats, R-D, or head to my website, www.amandaisquierdo.com. You can sign up for my email list, which I send out with resources, recipes, and more fun food and nutrition tips.
Love it. Well, with that, Amanda, thank you so much for making the time, for coming on the podcast, for enlightening us with vitamin Bs and vitamin Cs. I feel like we need to do a follow-on with the fat-soluble vitamins, but this was really refreshing to learn about the water-soluble ones. So I really thank you for your time.
And thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So find Yumlish on all the social media accounts linked in our podcast show notes. Our Yumlish socials help you learn more about our mission at Yumlish, keep you updated on helpful tips for managing your diabetes, and giving you access to exciting opportunities with Yumlish. With that, to our listeners in Texas, Yumlish will be running a diabetes management course here in the Dallas region. If you are interested, email us at info@yumlish.com and we'll connect you over to that. Lastly, if you enjoy Yumlish podcast and know a healthcare expert working in the nutrition space, reach out to us on Instagram to nominate them. Send us a DM telling us who you want to nominate, what they do, and why you believe their work is making a difference in the lives of individuals to conquer chronic illness. Thank you again. Until next time, stay well.
Thank you for listening to the Yumlish podcast with Shireen. If you like our show and want to learn more, you can find information at yumlish.com. You can also leave us a review here. We will see you at the next one. And remember, your health always comes first.